The past few days were difficult as we watched the shocking images from Washington, D.C. So many of us were horrified seeing a mob enter the U.S. Capitol by force, leaving lawmakers barricaded in their chambers, leaving them to flee to a safer location. Sadly, 5 people lost their lives in this riot. The certification of the presidential election was disrupted. The Capitol building was damaged and looted. The siege of the Capitol on Wednesday was, as far as I am concerned, an act of white supremacy. A gallows with a noose was found on the Capitol grounds, that image which evokes memories of lynching, that heinous act of racial intimidation used to maintain white rule. The Confederate battle flag, a symbol of white supremacy and chattel slavery, was carried inside the Capitol, something which never happened during the Civil War. In fact, historians cannot recall this ever happening in our nation's history until this past week. When the siege was ended and the Capitol secured, Congress reconvened to continue counting the Electoral College votes. During this routine and largely symbolic action, a significant number of lawmakers opposed the results from several states that decided the November presidential election. It is important to note the contested votes are from urban areas with large numbers of voters who are African American and people of color. Despite all the rhetoric about election integrity, this was a blatant attempt to disenfranchise black and brown voters. It is no different from the disenfranchisement campaigns begun after the Civil War. Those campaigns such as voter intimidation, Jim Crow laws, lynching, and even the removal by force of duly elected African-American officials from office. It is part of a contemporary disenfranchisement movement directed against black and brown voters. Equally concerning about all this is the surging pandemic, which was the backdrop for the riot and siege. There's concern that the event at the Capitol on Wednesday will be a super spreader event, with many becoming infected and possibly ill. Here in Rhode Island, after a brief time of the infection rate dropping, coronavirus cases are again rising. They likely will continue to do so after some celebrated Christmas outside their households. And we know the pandemic disproportionately affects black and brown communities in our nation, including here in this state. The state of our nation and the state of our world could not be more at odds with God's intention for us. There is so much important work to be done. The more than 400-year-long legacy of slavery and white supremacy has yet to be fully named, understood, let alone dismantled. There is much that we, the church, are being called to do. We see clearly in our lessons today God's vision for humanity. On this day, we keep the first Sunday after the Epiphany, and this season after the Epiphany reveals to us the nature and the identity of Jesus. Having just celebrated Christmas, in these weeks following, we learn who is this one born the Son of Mary. More than just a teacher, more than just a good man whose moral example we should emulate, Jesus is revealed to us as the incarnate Son of God, the Savior of the world. In Jesus, God puts on human flesh. In Jesus, we gaze upon God. In Jesus, God lives among us. God comes into human existence in order to show us how much God loves us and in order to lift us to the divine life of God. Our first lesson from the book of Genesis reminds us that God spoke into being all of creation. A wind of God, the Spirit of God, sweeps over the waters of chaos, birthing creation. Jesus, the eternal Word of God, is present at the creation of all that is. He is the Word through whom all things are made. Genesis tells us that as each part of creation is made, God pronounces it good. Humanity is called to remember the goodness of all creatures as pronounced by God. And we are called to act as faithful stewards who care for the created order. The goodness of creation is affirmed in our gospel today. When Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, the Spirit of God, that same Spirit present at the creation, descends upon Jesus. God the Father speaks the word, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." These words affirm the belovedness of the Son, Jesus. For Jesus is the Beloved of God. He is God's love incarnate in the world. And he affirms that each and every person is beloved of God. All people are good. All people are created in love by God and held in love as God's beloved children. Through the waters of baptism, we claim our high calling as the beloved of God. In baptism, we are incorporated into the very name of Jesus, into the very identity of Jesus, and we become part of his body. Just as we are claimed by Jesus for eternity, so we are invited to claim our changed identity as the beloved children of God. If this were not the middle of a pandemic, we would gather this morning here in the church to renew our baptismal covenant. Though we are unable to do so, we can still reflect on what it means to be baptized as beloved children of God. We can remind ourselves of the holy calling and charge that God gives us in baptism. The promises made in baptism are nothing short of reorienting our lives to Jesus, of directing our hearts and our wills to following him. In the baptismal covenant, we promise to turn away from evil and turn to God. We promise to proclaim the good news of Christ, witnessing through our lives, by our actions, and by our words. We promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves. And we promise to strive for justice and peace, respecting the dignity of every human being. These promises are how we live the life of the beloved of God, and they require we see ourselves and every other person as loved by God, as made in God's image and likeness, and redeemed by Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through baptism, we are clothed with the identity of Jesus as the beloved children of God, and we promise to see in all others the belovedness bestowed on them by God's love. It is challenging for us to live knowing we are loved by God, that we are the beloved of God. It sounds simple, but it is difficult for us to accept. Our society offers so many negative messages, so many ways that we are told we are not who we should be. We are told that we do not have value just as we are. We live in an age when everything is reduced to its economic value, a world in which some people have great worth and others have little, and some, sadly, who even are considered to be expendable. We are given so many reasons to view ourselves negatively, to feel very far from being beloved, be it beloved of God or, frankly, of anyone else. Henry Nouwen, the author, academic, and priest, wrote that our difficulty in claiming our calling as beloved of God is a great detriment to our spiritual lives and health. In his book, Life of the Beloved, Spiritual Living in a Secular World, he observes, and I quote, "Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Being the beloved expresses the core truth of our existence." Unquote. Being beloved is who we are. It is the core truth of our identity in Christ. We are created by God in love, a love that is lavishly poured out on us simply because of who we are. We do not need to earn this love. In fact, we can't earn it. It is freely given. We simply are beloved because God loves us. It is a great gift, one that we have not earned, but are given freely by God. And we are created by God to be people who, in response, love in return. Because God first loves us, we are called to love others in return. We're called to live in relationship with God and one another and the creation. If we live this reality, our lives are forever changed. Living as the beloved, we come to know God's call for us, the vocation and life to which God calls us. Just as Jesus moves from his baptism in the River Jordan into a time of discernment and testing out in the wilderness, spending 40 days and 40 nights there, and emerging at the end of that period with a clear sense of his mission and ministry and identity, the same is true for us. Henry Nouwen again writes, and I quote, "From the moment we claim the truth of being the beloved, we are faced with the call to become who we are. Becoming the beloved is the great spiritual journey we have to make. Augustine's words, 'My soul is restless until it rests in you, O God,' capture well this journey." Unquote. Making this journey into the life of the beloved changes us in other ways as well. If we know ourselves to be beloved, we can't help but see other people as beloved. We can't help but seek to honor the fullness of their identity as beloved children of God. We can't help but seek to be a blessing and a comfort to all we meet, seeking to be for them a reminder of the love that God has for them and for all of God's people. And we can't help but work tirelessly to oppose with every ounce of our being the evil and the injustice of this world. Journeying through the waters of baptism, we are grasped by God, claimed as Christ's own forever, marked forever and named the beloved of God. In those waters of baptism, we are lifted to the very divine life of God, into the holy life of love that is the life of the Trinity. The age in which we live is a difficult and challenging one. But thanks be to God that we follow Jesus, God incarnate in our midst, the King of all creation. All things rest in his hands. The forces of evil and hate will not prevail. Our hope rests in the one strong enough to defeat even the powers of death, the one who has already, through his death and resurrection, won the victory for us. And through baptism, we share in that victory. We already share in his resurrection life. Our holy call and charge is to embrace our belovedness, walking by the light of God's love. In our witness and the witness of all who follow Jesus as Savior is the power that is needed in this time. It is only the light of God's love that can transform the evil and division, the hatred of this world. Our only hope is in the child born of Mary, who comes to humanity to lift us above the sin and the evil of this world, lifting us into the divine life of love that is life with God. Amen.